Okay, we're going to begin the bottom of Samach Daled Amud Bet. The Gemara dealt with the Mishnah on Samach Daled, which is the Machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim, whether a Mocher is Mocher Ba'ain Yafeh or Ayin Ra'ah, which is the simplest way to explain the Mishnah, although the Gemara went through a slight digression to get there, that Machlokes between them is exactly this point. So now, Itmar, Rav Huna Amarav, Halochot Kedivrei Chachamim. So Rav Huna, Rav, Seir says that the Loch is like the Chachamim, that the Mocher is Mocher Ba'ain Ra'ah. Rav Irmiyar Ba'aba Amar Shmuel, so this is Shmuel's position, Halacha ki Rabbi Akiva. The Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that a Mocher is Mocher Ba'ain Yafeh. So now, Amar Le Rav Irmiyar Ba'aba Le Rav Huna. Ba'az Zimnin Sagin Amrita Kamei Dara'ah Hilchusuk Rabbi Akiva. So it says, Rav Irmiyar Ba'aba says, wait, you know, to Rav Huna, many times before, said before Rav, that the locha is like Rabbi Akiva, like I'm saying. Right? And he didn't say anything. You know, I mean that the fact that you said that a locha is like Rabbi Akiva, Rav never objected when I said that, never made any noise about the fact. And now you're coming along and saying, right, that it's halacha is kichachamim. Why would you say that halacha is dibri chachamim? I mean, the reason that I think halacha is Rabbi Akiva is because I said this to Rav, and he never disagreed or never made any noise about this. So, how did you say it over? Now, the question here about what's this part of the Gemara, it's the Rashbam says, is not from the words of Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rav Huna, but rather the Gemara itself, Stama the Gemara is speaking, because if they knew the answer here, they would never, the question would be not relevant. It says, Amalei Ipchot Tanino. It says, you said it the opposite way. That's why I didn't say anything. I mean that you reversed the positions of the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva. And therefore when you said Halacha Rabbi Akiva, you're really saying Halacha Kechachamim, which is Bain Yara. So Amalei Ravina, the Ravashi, Lema Azdulu Tamayu. So Ravina says to Ravashi, let's say, then Rav and Shmuel here are going according to their positions in another case. What's that? Tamar of Nachman Amar Shmuel Achim Shechulku. So Achim, they divided up the property of their father. In them, lo derech zel ze, velo sulamot zel ze, velo chalanot zel ze, velo matmaim zel ze. So these, all these instances, the underlying assumption here is when the Achim split the property of their father, like Mochim, they're selling one to the other when they divide up the property. So for instance, if they had two fields of their father, one that was captive to the other field, one brother took the inner field, one brother took the outer field, then, because it's like a mechira, they have no rights, the inner field has no rights to cross through the outer field to get there. And he's going to have to purchase his way out of there. Because he's classified as a, right, he's classified as a mocher, and a mocher is ba'ayin yafeh mocher. And that, where it says, and we saw this earlier in the Masechta, v'yizaru b'hen shalchot kvuotein. This is the locha. Be careful in this, because this is the way the locha is. Rav Amar Yeshlehem. No, the other way around. Rav says no, that each one of them is entitled to access because mocher ba'ayin ra'am mocher. So in this case, each party will get what it's necessary for them to access the property or to be protected in what they took. Where it says tricha. So even though the Gemara says this is their machlokas, Gemara still says tricha. Both Tosus the Rashbam over here, this says derech the Gemara to do this. And even though the answer is yes, that it is the same machlokas. All right, now once it is the same machlokas, then why do I need it twice? So then the Gemara says tricha. All right, so I need both of them. The yesh minun bahahi. If you only told me the case of the brothers, bahi kama rab mishum darmalei bina the meidar begeiched the daru beavatai. He says, listen, I want to live here like the way when we split the property because this is the way our father lived here, and I want to use it the same way our father used it. So if our father had access to the inner field, so too I should have access to the inner field. Teda, you should know that this is the case. Dichtiv, tachat avotecha yuvanecha, right? That the children come in place of the father. So when the children come in place of the father, they want to utilize whatever the father left them the same way their father did, and that would be to have access to the field. Aval baha emamodi leishmol, but maybe in our case over here, right, a normal mechira, he would agree to Shmuel's position that the mocher b'ayin yafeh mocher. Vidmar b'ha, if it was our case over here, where we say that mocher b'ayin yafeh mocher, b'ach kamar Shmuel, over there Shmuel says that the mocher gives b'ayin yafeh aval baha. But in the case of the brothers, emamodi le the rav, maybe he would agree to rav because of this basic principle that even though in general mocher is b'ayin yafeh mocher, here There's a mitigating factor, which is that we want the child to live on the field like the father did. In that case, maybe he would go like Rav Tzricha, so therefore we have both machlokot. So even though they're not exactly alike, nevertheless, they do mamid the same position, but each one has a chiddush, and being mamid that position. That a mocher ba'in yefer mocher, whereas a, according to Shmuel and according to Rav, it's a mocher ba'in ra'am mocher. The only thing I point out, the Rashbam says it as a given, but in the case of the Achim Shechulku, right, we say that he was mocher. So it's mocher, that you don't, the inner field doesn't get a derech through the outer field. Now the truth is that both of them are mochrim. Why don't we say that the outer field is also a mocher over here, and he's ba'ayin yofeh mocher. Right, so the truth is that that's not, right, the, you have to look in each instance what each party is doing. The Rashbam claims that the outer party is a lokeach, and the inner party is a mocher over here. Why? Right, because the outer side doesn't need anything. He, when he's, we say that he's the mocher, if you would say he's the mocher, mocher ba'in yofeh mocher, he didn't sell him, right? He didn't sell him the outer field, he sold the inner field. So when he sold him the inner field, right, he didn't, all he gave him was the field. The inner field, right now is mocher, the outer field. When he's mocher, the outer field, he's mocher everything. Everything includes, right, the outer field plus the derech that he should be entitled to. So the Rashi says is the difference, because in one instance, you need something. For instance, the inner party needs access through the outer party. So when we say he sold the outer field, he sold everything including his access rights. The inner field, if you said he sold the inner field, we don't say that he sold the inner field plus access rights to the field, because that's not what he's selling him. He's selling the inner field itself. So that's what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam says, claims over here, Gabi Chitzon, Oshayach Ayin Ra, B'mashayinu Noten Lo Etaderech, Shreinu Mocher B'sadeh Zuha Chitzon. He's not selling anything about the outer field. He's only selling the inner field. So you have to focus on what they're selling. And because he's selling the outer field has no relevance. Whereas the inner party is selling the outer field, and the outer field he had access rights. So when he sold it with the access rights, and he loses his access rights over here. Right now, oh, it's a very, very interesting statement here. Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Hilchasa kavatin, o hilchasa kavataychu. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna, listen, is the halacha like you? Meaning, Rav Huna said the halacha is like Rav. Or the halacha like us. Rav Nachman's a Talmud of Shmuel. Is the halacha like Shmuel? So listen what he sends back to him. He says, Amalei, hilchasa kavataychu. The halacha is like you. Like you, Rav Nachman. Rav Huna himself says the halacha is like you, Rav Nachman, like Shmuel. Why? Dimikravtitu, the bava deresh galuta. You guys live near the exilarch's house, the Shchichei Dayane. That's where the Dayanim are. So now, Rav Nachman was a Dayan, you know. Nachman was also the son-in-law of the Rosh Yigleish Galusa. So his exposure, the way Rashi can formulate, either he was exposed to a lot of Dayanim, or he's exposed to a lot of Dinim. Either way, meaning that he had a lot of experience, hands-on court experience. And therefore, Rav Nachman says, in the name of Shmuel, he says that the halacha is mocher ba'ayin yofeh mocher. We're going to pass on the halacha of Rav Nachman because of that fact. And we see that, I mean, we see this throughout Shas. Rav Nachman has an extra, right, power when it comes to Pesach halacha because he was a dayan. But not only a special dayan, he was a dayan that was by the, the seat of power. So we saw a lot of cases. So because of that, right, we says the halacha is like him. Now, Itmar. Shnei batim zeh lifnei mizeh. You have two houses, one is captive to the other house, the inner house is captive to the outer house. Shneim b'mecher, shneim b'matana. If both of them are sold, it's a single owner who sells them to two parties, or a single owner that gifts them to both parties. So in this instance, both buyers or both recipients are on equal footing. Because either both got it as a gift, or they both got it as a mecher, as a sale. In that case, in lam derech zel zeh. Neither of them gets rights on the other one, because k'mo she machar lezeh b'ayin yofeh, machar lezeh b'ayin yofeh. Right, so
Koshkin.
Yeah, simultaneously. He sells them simultaneously. Otherwise, right. Otherwise, he. I mean, because if he doesn't do it simultaneous, then the seller, right, then we have to look at him, because he sold it, and since he sold it, he's going to be mocher b'ayin yofeh. If he's mocher b'ayin yofeh, then.
So he would give the first one.
Right, he would give it to the individual he sold it to. And therefore, he has a residual right in the property. Right now, but on the other hand, now the Gemara says koshikain or pshita really should be the lashon over here, right? But it's pshita that chitzon b'matana upnimi b'mecher. The outer one he gave as a gift, and the inner one he sold. Right then, in that case, it's clear that he doesn't have any derech al zel zeh. Why? Because mecher, We say if he says Ba'in Yofeh, Matana is even bigger Ba'in Yofeh. Why is that? Because a Matana is something that's gratuitous. I mean, you didn't have to give it. It wasn't something you had to give. So certainly if you gift Ba'in Yofeh. I mean, if we say that a Mocher gives Ba'in Yofeh, then certainly a Matana is Ba'in Yofeh. Now, so in that case, certainly the inner party has no rights on the outer party because the outer party got it as a gift. And the inner party got it as a sale. So it's clear that the outer party gets the upper hand here, and the upper hand would mean that the inner party has no rights from it. But as chitzon b'mecher, upnimi b'matana. What happens if the outer place was sold, the outer house was sold, and the inner one was gifted? We thought, or the Gemara says, we would have concluded that they don't have any rights on each other. Because just like in all these other cases, they have no rights, so too over here, they have no rights. Veloi, that's not true. Why? Because matana is different than mecher. Milo tnan b'med v'amorim b'mocher. When would you say that it's, you know, that the chamim, who in general say that v'ayin yira'a mocher, nevertheless, when it comes to matana, they agree v'ayin yofeh. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. Milo tnan b'med v'amorim b'mocher. Aval montein matana nutein kulam. Then he gives everything. So certainly, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says v'ayin yofeh, by mecher, then certainly, but matana is going to say that's even better. Ayin yofeh. So if that's the case, alma mandu yoyv matana ba'ayin yofeh yoyv. So one who gives a gift gives it. Achanai mandu yoyv matana ba'ayin yofeh yoyv. So if that's the case, since the pnimi, the inner house was ba'ayin yofeh, and the outer house was ba'ayin was given by mecher, which could either be according to chamim ayin ra, according to Rabbi Akiva ayin yofeh, but it's a lower ayin yofeh. So in that instance, the pnimi was granted rights of access through the outer property. And that's the answer. The answer is that there's an imbalance here. The imbalance in the way it was given, and the imbalance in the way it gives extra rights to the pnimi. And those extra rights to the pnimi are access through the outer property. So the conclusion of the Gemara is, right, Chlokas, Kiva and Chachamim. Kiva says, Mocher ba'ayin yofeh mocher. Chachamim say, Mocher ba'ayin ra mocher. Everybody agrees, Matona ba'ayin yofeh mocher gives, right? The person who gives a gift gives it ba'ayin yofeh. Again, even though we say that Rabbi Kiva still sees a difference between Matana and Mecher. The Matana has a higher level of Yofeh, Ayin Yofeh, than the Mecher. Because of that, if you have competition between Mecher and Matana, Matana will take the upper hand. Because of that, and we'll say there's an imbalance between Matana and Mecher. It's not like they're given an equal. It's Mecher and Mecher, or Matana and Matana, then we say they're on equal ground and nobody gets anything. But here, where the Matana is given to the inner one, he gets an added advantage or an upper hand over here. Okay, next Mishnah. A mocheret abayit, mocheret adelet. One who sells a house, sells the door with the house. Avalo et mafteach, but not the key. The assumption here is that it's a key that is removable key, right? A metaltalin key over here. Mocheret amachteshet hakavua, avalo et metaltalet. Comes to the machteshet, is like a crusher of some sort. When he sells the crusher, if it's an affixed crusher, right, then it goes with the house because it's affixed. Whereas if it's a metaltelet, one that's carried around, then it doesn't go with the house. Macharet it's strobil, right? If he sells the house, the it's strobil goes with it. Rashi means strobil is the ring or the base on which the mill sits. So that's something that you don't move. That's affixed to the ground. That's something that doesn't move. Avalo et akelet, right? This is Rashi calls that an afarkeset. So that the English here quotes it as a hopper. Right, so the hopper, since the hopper is something that moves, it's a removable piece, therefore it's not sold with the house. V'lo et tanur, v'lo et kirayim, you don't sell any ovens or stoves, they don't go with the house. B'zman shamar lo, if he says to them, who? V'chol mash b'tochol, he says, look, I'm selling you everything and everything that's in it. Harei kulam mechurin. Over here, they are all sold. Now, the Rashi qualifies this and says, when he says that they're all sold, that's everything that is mentioned in our Mishnah. Everything in our Mishnah, even though we divide in our Mishnah between which is kavua, affixed to the ground, which goes with the house normally, and metaltel, which are things that are removable, that they don't go with the house. If you say everything in it, all these items, both the metaltel and the kavua, go with it. But shar dvarim do not go around it. And that's what the Rashi says. Avashar minei tashmishtei lo mizdavne. They are not sold with it. Why? Because when he added this extra lashon, kol mash betocho, he's only including things that are miyuchad to this house. Then in general, people will not rent them out or lend them out because they're so heavy. In the Mishnah, we're talking about heavy items. Heavy items that generally don't get moved. Tanur, kirayim, these aren't things that move. But we differentiate it. Certain items are so kavua and so heavy that they stay in the house and nobody moves them at all. the right items that sometimes people move, sometimes they don't move, and if you're going to move, you take them with you. So that's like the tanur, the kirayim, the kelet, people will take with them. So if you say kol mash betucho, you include even those items. But you do not include general metaltalim. Why? Because when a person moves, they move with their stuff. They're not leaving town. They sold the house. They sold the house. They might be moving next door. They might move down the block. They move down the block. They want to take their items with them. Now, as opposed to that, the Rashbam points out, if one sells a chatzer, a whole chatzer with the batim, or he sells a city with everything in it, then he sells everything. Why? Because there a person's really moving a significant distance. If a person's moving already a significant distance or leaving town, that is, as we say, that he wants to sell the metaltalim as well. Because there he has no interest in moving all his property. You know, in those days they'd have these moving companies come along and take everything for you. Whatever you had to take, you had to carry with you. So those instances, everything goes. But when it's a house that he's selling, then we say the metaltalim outside of these heavy-duty items, that he will take with him because he's going to end up moving next door. And so the Rashbam concludes. It's the last couple of lines of the Rashbam in the Mishnah. He says, "Klalo de milsa, kol mecher agadol mechavero." Any sale that's bigger than its friend, I mean that the greater the sale, ribal imkor yoter. The more, the bigger the sale, the more that you sell with the sale. And agadol lefi gadol, akatan lefi katan. No. The bigger the sale, the more that's included. Now, I would say that from two perspectives. One is what the Rashbam is pointing out here, that when you sell bigger items, your intention is to really leave, and therefore you're going to leave everything behind. You're not going to move it with you. I'd also say that when you sell bigger items, that the smaller items become minimal relative to the sale price. Meaning that when you're selling a house or you're selling an area, then each item adds up to being something significant. When you're selling a whole chatzer, you sell a whole city, little items that are left behind are insignificant compared to the price, and that's why you include them. Now, a person doesn't care already. We're talking about, you know, it's a rounding error. It's in the negotiation, it's a rounding error what's left behind. So there you would include it. So that's basically the principle the Rashbam lays out over here. Where it says, Lema masnisim delok Rabbi Meir. Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir. Why? Di Rabbi Meir, if it's Rabbi Meir, Amar, macharata kerim, macharata shmishi kerim. Person who sells a vineyard sells even the rods or the sticks that are used to hold up the trellises, right, for the vines. Those go along with the vineyard. They stay. Now, those trellises or those sticks are removable. We saw that before earlier in the Masechta, because it came to Shutfim when they split the property, or the Aris. When he leaves the property, what does he get of the sticks that are there? What does he get of the trellises that are there? So you see that it's removable from the property. It can be taken out of the property. So nevertheless, what does Rabbi Meir say? Even though it can be removed, he says that it goes along with the vineyard. So that's against their Mishnah. Where it says, Afilu Teim Rabbi Meir, Hotam Kviyah, Hotam Lo Kviyah. Depends on their usage. When you're talking about a kerem, when you're talking about items that are generally stay there, and that's trellises that are used for vines, nobody takes those out when they sell the vineyard. They leave them there. They're part of the growth or something, even though they technically could be moved. But generally, Ein Mezizin Lotam Mishal Neolam. Even though they're not attached to the ground, people generally don't move these items. Since they generally don't move them items over there, Rabbi Meir will say they're included in the sale. In our Mishnah, these are items that people still move, and therefore they wouldn't be included in the sale. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, wait a minute. Ba'maftayach, our Mishnah mentions maftayach, dumya d'delet. Our Mishnah makes it a case of maftayach, and it says here, avaloet maftayach. Maftayach is not sold along with the house in the Mishnah. Now, what type of maftayach are we talking about in the Mishnah? So Gemara says it's mafteach dumya d'delet k'tani. That we're talking about a mafteach that's just like a door. Well, what's a mafteach that's like a door? There are two different types of maftechot. Ma delet tekviya af mafteach tevila. That we're talking about here a fixed key. So what does that mean, a fixed key? There's a key like we know today, a key in a door, which you lock the door and you take the key out. That's a mafteach that's not kavua. In their day, they also had maftechot, which were actually, and we have sometimes like that, you have a lock that on the internal side, right, is not, doesn't have a keyhole, but has like some sort of turning mechanism, right, a latch that locks it. So that's a mafteach hakavua, because it's fixed into the door. You're not going to take it. People don't walk away with that key. Right, that key is something that's always left in the door. So our Mishnah says, even though the key is left in the door all the time, or something that's affixed to the door, nevertheless, it's not sold along with, right, the house. So that's similar to the case of the kerem. You have items that are technically removable. They could be pulled out from here. There are sticks that could be pulled out. The trellises could be pulled out. Nevertheless, since people don't pull them out, Rabbi Meir says they're included in the sale. Our Mishnah says, mafteach, that is, can be taken out. It is metaltel, but generally it's left, that ledge is left in the keyhole is never removed. Nevertheless, our Mishnah says it's not sold along with it. So from that part of the Mishnah, we say it can't be like Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Meir, I'm sorry. We must conclude that our Mishnah is not Rabbi Meir, because now we've come up with a similar case of something that's metaltel, but kavua, and nevertheless, our Mishnah has a different conclusion than Rabbi Meir in the Braisa. But here it's an internal key, it's an internal lock. It's not a lock that you open and close from outside. You can't open and close it from inside. Someone who's in the house uses it to lock the lock in the attachment. So it's like a security bar or something like that, where you close the bar down. That's not something that access to the house is used through this in and out with the key. It's something that internally, when you're in the house, you want to lock the house, then you use this type of key. I think that's the case here. All right, now, Tan Rabbanan. A mocher debayit, so to your question. Mocher debayit, someone in the house, machar ta delet, he sells the door, ve'et ha-nagar, ve'et ha-man'o, aval lo et ha-mafteach. All right, so when he sells the house, he sells the nagar, which is the briach, the lock that is fixed in the wall. Man'o is a lock that is fixed in the door. Okay, so there are different ways of doing it. The locking mechanism, a lot of them I think were those security bars, meaning that you had latch and they put a bar down or something like that. So when you sell the house, you sell the nagar and the man'o. You sell both the bar that goes, or the locking mechanism that's attached to the wall, and you sell the locking mechanism that's attached to the door. So that you do get. Avalo at the mafteach. This mafteach that you sell, you don't get the mafteach. So again, the mafteach over here can't be the key to these locks, like you're saying, otherwise it makes no sense. When you sell them the lock, and you don't take the key with you? No. Mafteach is another locking mechanism that was used, but it was an internal, or some sort of locking mechanism that was internal, but it was a removable locking mechanism. So that doesn't go along with the house. Machar et ha-machteshet ha-chakuka, avalo et ha-kivu'a. Right, someone who sells a machteshet, he does sell the one that's chakuka, but not the one that is kavu'a. So the itzrobil is like our Mishnah, the ring on which the mill sits, that he does sell with it. Avaloet kelet, not the hopper. Loet tanur, avaloet kiraim, not the tanur and kiraim, avaloet rechaim, and not a mill, which is a movable item. So the one thing that's not different from our Mishnah, but has some more explanation than our Mishnah, is this machteshet achakuka, avaloet kvua. Our Mishnah says that the machteshet doesn't go at all. Right, the machteshet. When he sells the machteshet, he sells the kavua, v'lo et ha-mitaltelet, and not the one that is taken. Over here, our braisa says it's machteshet ha-chakuka, v'lo et ha-kavua. What's the difference between chakuka and kavua? The Rashbam explains that chakuka and kavua depends on how it was made. A machteshet ha-chakuka is that he dug it or he shaped it, quarried it into the wall itself, into the house. The house has bedrock there, and he put the machteshet into the wall, right? He cut out of the wall, he cut out of the cella, the bedrock. Like, for instance, here, if you build up against the mountainside and you have bedrock, he carved into that bedrock a machteshet. So that stays because it's part of the ground, part of the house. But a kavua, what's a kavua? Was that he carved it out first and then he placed it there. He carved out the machteshet and then he placed it in that case. Rabbi Lezer comes along and says, Kol ha-mechubar the karkar heu kekarka. Anything attached to the ground is like the ground. So who is the author of our Mishnah? The author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer. But as it says, anything attached to the ground goes. Why? What did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said, a machteshet ha-kvua. Without differentiating between chakuka beforehand or dug into the cella, our Mishnah says anything affixed to the ground goes with the house. So that's exactly Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, it doesn't matter how it was made, whether it was made first, right, and then placed, attached, fixed to the ground, or was it dug out of the bedrock there? Either way, right, what's the din? The din is, you get to, it goes with the house. The buyer gets it with the house. As opposed to the chamimir, or bringing a difference between how it's placed, how it's not placed, right, that is not like our Mishnah. So Rabbi Lezer is the author of our Mishnah. Okay, so b'zman she'amar lo hu v'chumash v'toroi, kulan mechurim. Same as our Mishnah, that when you say, everything goes, everything goes. Everything goes, again, what's included in the braisa here. Not everything, but everything in the braisa here goes with it. Ben kach u men kach, no matter what you say, lo machar et lo et abor v'lo et adot v'lo et etziah. That's what we saw before. That these are separate binyanim, and since they're separate binyanim, you need an additional lashon above and beyond selling the house in order to include these items, whether according to right? The Gemara that mentioned that a umma varum is enough, according to Rav Dimi, that's not even enough. You have to say mitohoma ad vakia until you get these items. These items are not included in a regular sale of a house, no matter what. Chamim, Rav Lezer disagree about these items that are mentioned earlier, but these, everybody agrees that they're not included in the house. So now we have our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Lezer, which says affixed to the ground goes with the house, not affixed to the ground. Taltel doesn't go with the house. We have the Chachamim who say that it's not about affixed, it has to do with how it got there. If it was already existent, right, then it's, right, if it's part of the bedrock, part of the foundation, you know, part of the building itself, then it's not included. But if it was outside, brought from the outside, and then affixed, that's not included in the sale. So now we have a Mishnah, Tanur Banan. Tzinor shechakakol l'sof kav'o pasolot ha-mikvah. As a din by mikvah, mikvah has to be rainwater, but it can't be mayim she'uvim. It can't be water that is drawn or went through a kli. So here you have a pipe that was shaped and formed, and then affixed to the ground. Now, if water flows along the ground into a mikvah, that's good rainwater, because that's not mayim she'uvim, it never went through a kli. Over here, on the other hand, there's water that's going through the pipe, but a pipe that was originally a kli, and then you affixed it to the ground. Kavo ulusof chakoko. If you place the pipe, like the wood, into the ground, you attach the ground, and then afterwards you carve through the pipe, then it's posel to mikvah. Then it causes a problem. Causes a problem for the mikveh. So what's the problem over here? You have a beit kibul. A beit kibul is a receptacle. A receptacle is mekabel tumah, and it's called mayim she'uvim. So now the Gemara says it depends on how the receptacle is made. Or this Mishnah says that it depends on how the receptacle is made. If the receptacle is made and then affixed to the ground, it remains a receptacle and you can't, it's mayim shuvim, if water flows in there, it's no good. On the other hand, if the item is placed affixed to the ground first, or it's carved into the ground itself, the pipe, no problem, because that is not called a beit kibul, because it was never a kli, it was never actually a separate kli, it was always mechubar the karka. Now truthfully, a pipe, and here we're talking possibly even a semicircle, a half pipe, but even in those pipes, where is the beit kibul? There is no beit kibul. A beit kibul is something that can be shomer on what's inside of it. A pipe has no ability to be shomer what's inside of it. You place water or anything into a pipe, what happens to it? It flows out the ends. I mean, there's nothing enclosure. A receptacle, a beit kibul, requires four sides to keep what's inside of it. What? The three sides, at least three sides, right? At least three sides, but probably four sides to have it here. Tosus does suggest something along those lines. Maybe it's a three-sided pipe, but Tosus rejects that. You know what he says? He says that they have in the middle of the pipe, they have like on a gutter. It's like on a gutter, and they have a small receptacle in the middle of the pipe to catch the rocks going through. There's some little depression in there so that when the water flows through, the heavier items get caught in this little depression, and the water keeps going through. He says that is kibul, and that's what causes the whole problem over here. That's what Tosus suggests over here. Nevertheless, we have a case, we have a pipe. Now, who's this like? Is this Rabbi Lezer or the Chachamim? So Gemara says here, Mani, lo Rabbi Lezer, lo Rabbanon. It's not Rabbi Lezer and not Rabbanon. Why? So Gemara says, hi, Rabbi Lezer, that it's not like over here. Let me, Rabbi Lezer, Dubai. What are you going to suggest over here that, who is it not like Rabbi Lezer? Is the Rabbi Lezer Dubai that we just had in the Brice above? Why? Because Rabbi Lezer Dubai, it said that Kol Mechuber the Karka, Ariyaku Karka. So then, in our case, it wouldn't matter if he dug it out first and then placed it in, or he placed it in and then dug it out. According to him, b'chuber the karka should be kosher the mikvah. So how do you? Maybe that's the Rebbe Lezer we're saying it's not like. Gemara says no, you don't have to say that. High no time, the Rebbe Lezer. Maybe the reasoning in Rebbe Lezer over there is sover mocher ba'in yafeh mocher. That the reason that the mocher gives up hamachuber the karka is because ba'in yafeh mocher, and therefore even by mikvah, Rebbe Lezer would agree that it is a din in posel at the mikvah. Chuba the karka is not a din in karka that's always like karka and therefore it would be kosher the mikvah. No. The din of Rabbi Lezer derives from the fact that a mocher b'ayin yafeh mocher. And because of that, that's why he allows it to go with the sale. But it's not a din in mechuba the karka. If it's not a din in mechuba the karka, we don't know what he says by mikvah. Rabbanan Tzavi, mocher b'ayin ra'a mocher. And the Rabbanan's position over there will be b'ayin ra'a mocher that he sells. And therefore the mechuba the karka is not included in the sale. So from here we don't know which, when the Gemara says it's not Rabbi Lezer, or not like the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, in this case of mikveh, there can't be the Rabbi Lezer bayit, because we don't know what he says by bayit might not be relevant to what he says by mikveh. It could be for a totally different reason, not the reason of a kol mechuber the karka, arehu kikarko. The Rashbam also says, what about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan actually work out to be great authors now, according to this, and the Mishnah. Why? Because the Rabbanan believe that if you're a chukko, right, if you dug it into the cellar, then it belongs to the bayit. If you carved it and then placed it there, they say it doesn't belong. They're actually the perfect authors for our Mishnah over here. They're the perfect authors of the Mishnah. So Mai says, oh, you know what? Surin Rashbam says, it's unbelievable Rashbam over here. It says, Umiyu Rabbanan de Pliga Le, Lo Habihanu Rabbanan, Da Amar Le'el, Lo Rabbelezer Lo Rabbanan. They're not the same Rabbanan. It's a different Rabbanan. So that's why it says, Lo Rabbelezer Lo Rabbanan. Mai said, what do you mean it's not the same Rabbanan? I mean, that would be a great solution. So Tosfos over here points out that the Rashbam was trapped. The Rashbam was trapped because of the way he explained the Gemara earlier. If you look at Tosfos, Ilema Rabbelezer de Bait, says, what forced the Rashbam to say such a strange thing? Because of the way he explains the Mishnah earlier, or the Braisa earlier, which is that what is a machteshet chakuka? Machteshet chakuka is something that was attached, and then you carved it out. What's a kvua? Any chakuka? Losof kava. Was that he carved it out and then he placed it over there. Alma miflege rabbanan ben chakakal usof kaval ben kaval usof chakakal, which is exactly our brisa over here. Imkein atashapik rabbanan. It would be exactly like the rabbanan. So bechinam dachak lefarish. And he did it for naught. De matzin lefarish tachakuka ayno shalot talsha meolam. And he never separated it all. Shnechaka besela hayut semin ahar. At the end that he dug it into the har itself. Kavua ben kavua l'sof chakuka ben chakuka l'sof kavua. Right, kavua. The difference between chakuka and kavua over here is chakuka means that he dug it into the bedrock. Kavua means that whether he carved it first and placed it in, or he placed it in and then carved it, makes no difference. So once you've done that, then the rabbanan are no longer like the rabbanan over here, because that doesn't solve our problem from the Mishnah, the Braisa over here, because there the rabbanan are saying chakuka means in the bedrock. Chakuka, doesn't matter how it got there, whether it was carved first or carved afterwards, it doesn't matter. Now, truthfully, if you look in the Rashbam here, what we have in the Rashbam defends, it says, Amakdesh Chakuka, Kagon Sela. It would say, Minakoto, Chakukha, Makdesh. He said exactly what Tosus says. So it's interesting, the Tosus quotes it as Perishakuntras, right, which we don't know, it could be Rashi that he's quoting, or I don't know who he's looking at that he calls Perishakuntras. Nevertheless, the Rashbam has this answer, it's not the same Rabbanan, even though he explains the Rabbanan over there is Chakuka, been going into the cell. Alright, Tosus learns that it doesn't matter which way it was. The Rashbam still says, Chakuka Masuya. It was already made, and then he Kavabakarka. So maybe that's what forced the Rashbam in that direction, because he explained it that way. Although he still explains the Machtesha Chakuka as being in the cell, which is interesting, that he could have done the same thing Tosus does. Just says that when it means Kavua, it means whether it was carved before or placed in and then carved. Either way, it would have worked, and then the Rabbanan wouldn't have been the same Rabbanan. But he doesn't say that. He just says, oh, they're different Rabbanans. Don't worry about it. It's not the same Rabbanan over here. It's very interesting.